I had a weird dream last night. It wasn't like your normal everyday dream. It was very disturbing to me. I wouldn't consider it a nightmare. I know I'll never forget it. Still brings me a shiver just thinking about it. Before the dream, everything was normal. Saturday had arrived after a long, tiring week of work. I was an IT technician. It was the kind of job where we would assist customers varying from software issues to networking ones, and occasionally, the job would require us to meet them on their turf to provide on-site service. Fortunately for me, I wore multiple hats, which meant I had to tackle more on-site visits. Some would think of me as a versatile, irreplaceable employee, and you wouldn't be wrong. I, however, wouldn't look past the glaring fact that the company was just being too cheap to hire others, opting to milk every ounce they can get from us. They're understaffed employees. You see why I would spend most of my weekends only sleeping or watching television, basically anything that required the least amount of work or movement. Unfortunately, these tactics made them fly by faster than usual. There's nothing worse than expediting your rest days to your work ones. This weekend, I decided to mix it up a bit. Instead of my usual lazy days around my apartment, I decided to venture out and visit my parents. I hadn't been home in 2 days. I couldn't remember the last phone call I made to them, so I figured I was overdue for a visit. Home was around 50 miles away, but that didn't seem too bad compared to most people I knew. I had plenty of friends who were clear across the country from their folks, so I knew I had no room to complain. To be honest, I was looking forward to the drive. The ones in the morning were the best. Watching the sun gradually rise, feeling the cool breeze while coasting the near-empty streets. Absent a river of traffic. Is there a better time to travel? Couldn't wait to see my dad or my stepmom either. I could already picture the two of them ambushing me with hugs while releasing a barrage of questions about how everything was going in my life, and I hadn't even gotten to the best part. Home-cooked meals. Energized by those thoughts, I quickly packed up a few things, toothbrush, clothes for one night, towels, anything else I could thought I might need. For a second, I thought about giving them a quick heads-up call to let them know that I was coming. But I refrained, thinking it would be better if my visit was unannounced. After my car was loaded, I pulled out of my apartment area and began the drive. As expected, the sun had barely peaked beyond the horizon. The drive itself was smooth and fluent, with barely any other cars on the road. That's just the way I like it. As early as it might seem to some people, my parents were early birds. They got up at the crack of dawn to maximize their day, taking care of small things throughout it, cutting grass, morning runs, errands, etc. Didn't take long before I reached my old hometown. I was met with a familiar setting, rendering old memories. Almost at every angle, I could recall some event from my life while growing up. And it wasn't until I looked in the rear mirror that I noticed I had a smile pressed on my face. It's no hiding, I guess. I was happy to be home. Eventually, I reached my neighborhood, turning onto the street where my parents lived. From the distance, I could see their house at the far end on the right. I drove down the street, glancing left and right, attempting to see if old neighbors were still present in their homes. Just from a glance, I could recognize what houses had new people and which ones had familiar faces. Only a few were actually up and outside. One person in particular, Mr. Harris. He was infamous for always attending his yard. He was mainly seen cutting his grass, and did so in a full jumpsuit, regardless of how hot or cold the weather shifted. It vaguely resembled the ones prisoners would wear, except it was navy blue instead of bright orange. I reached my parents' house, and I parked next to the mailbox. The driveway had my dad's car in it. My stepmother's car was usually kept inside the garage, since it was a newer vehicle. The house itself was fairly big. Two stories with all white siding that made up its exterior. It had burgundy shutters to accompany each window, a decent-sized porch with a bench on it. After parking my car and walking up the door, I could already see the screen door closed to allow the cool air to run through. The aroma of bacon and eggs filtered outward. along with the sounds of talking and moving around. Despite still having a key to the place, I rang the doorbell, along with the sounds of talking to them. Intently, I heard my dad's voice, grumpily questioning out loud who would be visiting at this hour, and I could hear his footsteps, walking over until he emerged into the entrance hallway. I'd see his eyes widen, a smile grow on his face. He called out to my stepmom to come over to him, and when she did, I was met with a loud cry of joy as she raced over to the door opening in it, pulling me into a vice-like hug. After about a 10-minute moment of hugs and greetings, I was finally able to settle in. Brought all my stuff into my room, which was in the basement. The basement, of course, was finished and had a big television in front of a couch along with a washer-dryer down there. It was almost like a second living room, perfect for having guests over or even a tenant for renting. The day went by fairly quick. I spent most of it talking to them about my job, politics in the world, and other recent events. It wasn't until the evening arrived when my dad announced that in his spare time, he had managed to convert all the old home movie tapes into DVDs. My dad was always the type to keep busy. He worked hard throughout the week and even on the weekends because he was unable to cope with the downtime. It was in these times that he would keep himself busy with small side projects. These projects varied from big ones like installing new floorboards to small ones like planting fresh flowers outside. Apparently this time his project had been converting the old tapes before they became too bad to view. We decided to spend that evening watching the old movies to gawk and laugh at the old days in our life. Popped in the first disc, left temporarily to use the bathroom. The video appeared to be during Christmas time. The footage was very grainy, producing a few white streaking lines across the screen. The timestamp in the corner read December 25th, 1991. In the video, we could see a big tree in the background, heavily decorated with tinsel and ornaments. Below it, a multitude of presents covered the floor, varying in size. Off to the side is my mother. My real mother. Very young in appearance. She must have been at least in her mid-20s at the time. I didn't get a chance to know her. My father informed me that she had died when I was too young to remember, and I only recognized her from photos that I had seen lying around. It wasn't until I was old enough that my father explained her death. Her death was in fact a murder. Some crazy loon had broken into their apartment and shot her. He didn't really like to speak about it. I didn't blame him because of his feelings. I never pressed him for more about it. The camera in the movie sat fixated without shaking, giving the assumption that it was on a stand. Soon after, my father appeared from behind the camera to join her on the ground. He too was young in appearance. Strange to see them this way. Not about a small amount of laughter from me. They both seemed to have their eyes fixated on something. It wasn't until my dad adjusted the camera I could see that something was me. There I was, a younger version of myself, checking the timestamp on the screen, confirmed I was 1 year old. I watched in awe as my younger self hobbled around, curiously grabbing small things around the apartment. Occasionally, he would render a smile to my parents whenever they called out my name in a soft tone. The moment was nice until the screen went to complete static. The sound was a little distorted, but it was clear the video was not over. I could make out what sounded like a knock at the door from the audio, but I wasn't sure entirely. My dad returned just as this happened and went over to the television, cursing at it. He finally ejected the DVD and popped in a new one, informing us the rest of the tape must have been too bad before the full recording. And we didn't let that hinder the moment. We prepared ourselves as the next disc loaded up. After a long evening of laughing and admiring our younger images on the home movies, we decided to call it a night. We said our goodnights, my stepmother promising to cook us a big breakfast tomorrow. Made my way downstairs and changed into my pajamas, eventually laying on my old bed. I lay there for a couple of minutes, smiling to myself, still thinking about the videos and other times I had while growing up. Without realizing it, I found myself asleep. Now this is when it all happened. This is when I had the dream. In this dream, I found myself back in that old apartment I had viewed with my parents earlier in the home movie. It was odd, though. Unlike the angle the camera appeared in the video, I was standing offset of it. It was an angle that didn't appear in the video, and yet somehow I could see more of the apartment with greater detail, from the kitchen in the back, its sink full of dishes, to the picture hanging on the wall. I wasn't sure how this amount of detail was applied, because clearly I was just a child at the time, and remembering this would be impossible. There was a possibility that my brain was just filling the gaps of the apartment with places that I had seen and been to, but deep down, I thought otherwise. It felt like everything being presented was exactly how it was at the time. Around the apartment, it was clearly Christmas time, like in the video. I continued to look around, noticing my dad standing behind the camera exactly like in the video, and my mother sitting on the floor in the view of it. As if on cue, he walked from behind the camera, and he sat next to my mother. It was literally like being present in the footage, scene for scene. I attempted to grab my parents' attention. I tried calling out to them, waving, and even touching them, but it was like I didn't exist. They couldn't see or hear me, and my hands went through them, almost as if I was a ghost. My dad then shifted the camera to where I could see my younger self cooing and hobbling around to my side. I watched as the younger me began playing with books, curiously trying to figure out the object. And suddenly there came a loud banging at the door. The noise startled me, my parents included. I watched as my dad rose and went to check the door. The door itself had a small peek hole, and I recall that I remembered hearing what sounded like a knock from the distorted video. I heard my dad mumbling something in a confusing tone. It was something around the grounds of the peek hole, with either being covered or that someone was standing really close to it. At this moment, I got an uneasy sensation in my stomach. For whatever reason, I got the feeling that opening that door would be a mistake. However, before I could react, my dad unbolted the locks, and he opened the door. He was immediately struck with the barrel of a gun. I watched in horror as he grabbed his now bleeding head in pain. The assailant kicked my father back, causing him to fall over next to my mother. My mother let out an ear-piercing scream in fear. The assailant came through the door, shutting it softly behind and locking the bolt across. Afterward, the assailant gave off a hissing shush about my parents. Hearing the voice confirm that it was a man, he stood silent, pointing the long-barreled gun at my frightened parents. I was too frozen in fear, even knowing I couldn't be seen. The man wore a long black cloak over his body, with a hood draped over his head, a few chains looped from his waist, connecting his hip. When I looked closer, there were several faint gray inverted crosses on the side of his hood, on the back of his cloak. Was this man a part of some twisted religion? I carefully made my way around him. He remained in the same position, appearing to not show any indication of my presence, yet I still wasn't taking any chances, and when I finally reached a good angle to see his face, my heart dropped. He was wearing a pale white mask over his face. The mask was glossy. The eye holes were wide open along with the mouth, both completely veiled in black. It gave off an eerie chill. It was as if the mask itself was frozen in fear, emitting an ear-splitting scream for its life. We all just remained still with what felt like a long hour, and finally my dad managed to mutter a question to the man, asking him why he was doing this. The man, of course, remained silent, ignoring the question. My mother was still whimpering to herself, and my dad kept his head low, applying pressure to the wound on his head. He repeated his question with more anger in his tone. The man finally made a move. Taking out a second pistol from within his robes with his other hand, he raised and pointed it in my direction. My heart began rapidly pounding in my chest, more than it had before. Could this man finally see me? Was he always able to? And I raised my hand up in a surrender pose while backing up a little, and when I did, I realized the angle of the gun was slightly off. He was pointing it in my direction, but not at me exactly. And I turned my head to see what he was in fact pointing the gun at. The younger me. My mother let out a loud shriek, and the man had the gun in the direction of my one-year-old self. Of course, being 1 year old, I didn't seem bothered by the gun. In fact, I was still playing around with a book from earlier, oblivious to the whole situation. What was the man planning? Why did he break in to begin with? He clearly didn't want anything from my parents. They didn't have anything expensive at the time. And more importantly, why was he pointing a gun at a one-year-old child? My heart dropped even further when I heard him cock the gun. What reason would he have for doing this? What would it accomplish? My mother attempted to move towards me, but the man refocused his gun on her, cocking that weapon as well. I looked back at my younger self, who in turn looked up at the man, giving a blank, innocent stare. The man appeared unfazed, solid in stance. I could see his fingers slowly squeezing back on the hammer, heart still racing. I quickly moved in the path of the gun, hoping to obscure his view. Realizing it wouldn't make a difference, I grabbed the gun, but my hand phased through it like before. I couldn't touch him. His fingers gradually continued to squeeze back on the trigger. It was like viewing the moment in slow motion, taking forever to occur. Unexpectedly, I felt my mind being flooded with images. They were images of people. They looked to be people I knew throughout my life, almost like a photo album. Endless images of moments and faces flashed by, and I saw my mother, my father, my friends that I had known, girlfriends I had relationships with, everyone. They continued appearing one after another, and as they did, I felt a pulsing pain grow in my head. I couldn't take all the images at once. It was too much, and yet they persisted. I found myself on my knees as the images began appearing at a faster rate. I was now gripping my head, almost shaking uncontrollably until they ceased without warning. The air felt cold. The warm colors around transitioned literally to a grayscale-like color. I looked up slowly, and when I did, I saw the flash of the barrel go off, followed by the sound of a loud bang. I turned around to find the lifeless body of my younger self lying on his back, a pool of blood quickly forming around him. The air was silent. My parents were speechless. Frozen in grief, the man lowered his gun, eventually letting it drop to the ground. We all remained silent and completely still. He proceeded to lift his hand, removing his hood. Afterward, he slowly removed the mask from his face. My eyes couldn't comprehend what they viewed. This man, this murdering, psychopathic, religious nutcase's face was my face. He had the same face as me, the current age me. Tears formed in his eyes and slowly made their way down his face. He turned to my parents. A small smile formed across his face. It wasn't a twisted, evil smile or a satisfied one, no. His smile and his eyes held a deep sense of sympathy. With it, he spoke quivering words. I'm sorry. I had to. I did you a favor. Forgive me. Without warning, a blinding white light appeared out of nowhere, completely engulfing me, and I saw a face appearing amidst the white. Before I could make it out, I immediately jolted awake by the alarm on my cell phone. I sat up quickly. The dream was still burning in my mind with every excruciating detail. When I looked down at my hands, I found them trembling. I put them to my sweaty chest to feel my heart knocking around uncontrollably to no end. What the hell kind of dream was that? After the dream, I couldn't fall back asleep again, or actually, I didn't want to. It was just so disturbing, and more importantly, too realistic. Lucky for me, it hadn't been too early in the morning. Soon my parents would wake up as well. That thought comforted me a little. I didn't want to be alone. As expected, I could soon hear my stepmother's adhering to her promise, cooking that large breakfast upstairs. Before heading up, I made sure to compose myself in the best manner possible. I didn't want them questioning me about the ordeal. It was just a dream. I wanted to prevent any reason to call it, at least not at that moment. It's too soon. I ascended the stairs, made my way to the kitchen where I was greeted happily. I, of course, lied about how I slept. We ate breakfast silently for the most part. Luckily, they were deeply involved with the Sunday paper, or they were on their tablets. After eating, I thanked them for the meal. I promised I'd visit more often. I wanted to leave as quickly as possible, so I told them I had to leave early to prepare for work the next day. Packed up my things, said my goodbyes before entering my car. Meditating on that incident really helped me wrap my mind around it. Helped me realize that it was just that. A dream. to no deeper meaning to it other than my mind conjuring up a freakish set of images based off what I had seen prior to. As time went on, the images began acting more like a dream. I said I'd never forget it, and yet, like the typical ones, it slowly was slipping away from me. I was ready to head back. Before I could turn my car on, my phone went off. On the other end was my boss. He asked me how I was doing, if I was willing to do an extended on-site service for a client, possibly for a week or two, depending on the number of computers. The project involved establishing networks and accounts, and mentioned the client would provide room and meals. Seeing nothing wrong with getting out of the office for a while, I agreed. I asked who the client was. He told me it would be a service provided by an independent church. To be continued.